The Sangati Center in San Francisco brings together world-renowned Indian classical musicians in a small space on a tree-lined street that could easily be missed. Like many treasures in this city, it has to be excavated, and because of that, it may feel like a discovery every time one goes to see a concert there. Founded in 2006 by Gautam Tejas Ganeshan, the center plays host to musicians from all over the world who find themselves in this calming red and yellow-walled room, sitting before an audience, doing what they love most, music. Ganeshan himself is a performer, a singer, in fact, and while he studied philosophy and was tempted to become an ethnomusicologist, study music from different parts of the world, he decided to fly west, as many do, and follow his dreams to be a performer. He found that there weren't many places he liked to perform here, so he decided he would create the ideal space and found this one on a corner in the Mission. He looked at over 40 places. Sometimes he would walk into the space, and just by saying one note, he could tell if it was right. And this turned out to be right. My name is Tani Katenjian. This week on Sight Unseen, the words of Gautam Tejas Ganeshan, founder of the Sangati Center. Sangati means coming together in Sanskrit. Last week, after Barack Obama won the election, the streets in San Francisco were filled with music and dancing, people coming together to celebrate. Music is a form of celebration. It both engenders and reflects joy and emotion. And while the Sangati Center may not align itself with a historical event such as that one, in small but potent ways, it may offer some of the same feelings that were experienced on November 4th, 2008. First, a song played at the center earlier this month by Anantha R. Krishnan. The instrument she is playing is called the Mrindangam. Stay tuned for that and more on this week's Sight Unseen.
What we do here is predominantly what's come to be called classical music. And even within that, there's quite a lot of variety and distinct traditions. The narrative quality that you talk about, the idea that the artist is trying to tell you something, I think that that's a pretty central thing. In Indian music, we have this pervasive idea of raga. And it's famously difficult to translate that. But, it's kind of like a mood told through melody or a framework. You know, it has elements that are very intellectual and elements that are very emotional. And And so in raga music, as Indian classical music is sometimes called, the idea is to convey this kind of essential thing. I mean, it's not a story, literally. It's not a feeling, literally, because it's not sadness. It's the aesthetic representation of sadness through music. And so there's really no other way to say it than the actual music, which is why, as I said, I'm not an academic or a writer. I'm a singer. But I think that a lot of the people who have been introduced to Indian classical music through the Sangati Center have been able to see a more intimate side of it than you often get in a larger hall, which is one thing. And I think that's great, because I think it's a music that is suited to this kind of subtlety and nuance, and that I think that there's also a heavy emphasis in Indian music, which is, on the one hand, virtuosic and requires a lot of practice and a lifetime of dedication, but going hand in hand with that fact is the idea that the musician himself or herself is on a spiritual quest through doing the music, and that the music is a tool for finding out about yourself, and it's a language with which to communicate these truths with others, which is very important to communicate. And so, you know, Indian classical music is a traditional language that's used to communicate very important, very deep truths. And so, for example, myself as a singer, I think that as important to my art form as the skills that I have to practice to maintain and voice culture and all of that is just my sensitivity to the world and my daily relationships with people and my participation in civic bodies like voting, like we talked about. I mean, all of that in some way informs my outlook and my, you know, soul, if you will, or myself. And that is what that's what's really valuable about coming to see me sing. I mean, not really anything else. If I make mistakes, I don't really care, so long as the integrity of what I'm trying to say is present there. And I don't want to, personally as an artist, I don't want to be slick or overproduced or even virtuosic. I don't have those goals. I have the goal more of being authentic and of communicating something that's worth it to communicate. And so I love singing at the Sangati Center because here I can do that. The audience is typically between 15 and 40 people, and they're all within 20 feet of me, and there's no intermediating force of any kind. There's no sound system or formal announcer or anything like that. It's just, you know, it lays bare the nature of the occasion. And it's just people have come to participate in a musical event. And I think there's something beautiful about that. And yeah, that's it.
Have the people that have come here, have the musicians and the singers that have come through here transformed the way in which you sang, transformed the way in which you perform?
Definitely. That's definitely the case. In Indian music, there's a very strong idea of the guru or the teacher. And so invariably, just like they say in Indian culture in general, a way of asking somebody how are you is, have you eaten? That's like, it, literally in Tamil, if you say sapta cha, that means like, have you eaten? But it's a common way of just asking if somebody is. Similarly, in Indian music culture, one of the very first questions you're asked is, who's your teacher? That's kind of an introduction to who you are as a musician. I think the closest thing I have to a guru is my father, although I have had very little time formally sitting with him and learning from him. And so In a way, compared to a lot of Indian classical musicians, I don't really have a guru. And this is an anomaly. And so when I'm asked this question, I've evolved a response, which is not inevitably, but if I'm asked this question by somebody performing at the Sangati Center, what I respond to them is, well, you're my teacher. You know, you as one of the six concerts I'm going to see this month at the Sangati Center, you're going to teach me something. And I've observed, 200 concerts now that we've done, and I've definitely learned something, and I've definitely improved and changed and developed. And yeah, it, it's it's from learning from the artists who give what they give here. And as I mentioned before, I think that the Sangati Center is an opportunity to give something more intimate, maybe in some cases more informal, which can be a good thing, or a thing that kind of distracts from the presentation. A lot of artists are accustomed to a very high level of formality with the presentation, and that is not achieved at the Sangati Center. You know, there's traffic noise, there's people walking by knocking on the door saying, "What is this? I don't know what this is," you know, right in the middle of the concert. The Polish club across the street sometimes has, dance parties and things like that. So this is just, you know, it's not a concert hall, it's the Sangati Center, it's its own thing.
Well, two questions. One is just about that, have you eaten today? Why is that? I mean, is it that real satisfaction, the real place of how we are is based on our physical nourishment, or is eaten used as a metaphor for mental nourishment, or what is it?
My intuition is that it has to do with the value given to hospitality, and homes in South India that I'm familiar with are much more porous than here. And people are coming and going. I mean, there might even be somebody who manages your lentil cabinet, and he's just the lentil cabinet guy. And every day or every few days, he comes and sees which ones you've used, and he just himself fills it and sends you an invoice at the end of the month. And he's just coming in and out, and that's just it, you know. And so this idea of asking somebody if they've eaten, it's tied to this idea, I'm near my home, you're coming through, I'm asking you if you've eaten. If you say no, I'll offer you food as a gesture of community. And obviously this is being strained as India grows and becomes more urban, and but I think I would speculate that that's the root of that.
Which I think is really beautiful, and I think is something that I know I strive for in my life with my my community, with my family, to create a home that offers that sense where people can come in. And I mean, I'd love to have someone organize my lentils. not because they need organizing, but just because that just seems like such a great job. but it's very metaphorical for this space. This is a community. This engenders community. This welcomes people. I mean, it's like, have you, I thought you were going to say that people don't actually ask you who your guru is. I thought you were going to say their first question is, have you played today?
Huh. That is another common question. Usually I find that that's asked between musicians who already know each other and kind of already know that each other are serious musicians. But that is a common question. I mean, a way to compliment another musician is, it's more significant to say that you appreciate their practice regimen than that you appreciate a certain performance that they gave. That's kind of a statement about their philosophy and about their devotion, which is more significant.
Has having this space and getting really familiar with all of this music and bringing these incredible performers here, has it made you closer to your father? Has it affected the relationship that you have with him?
That's a good question. I think that he is proud of the decisions that I've made, because I've been pretty open with him about the extent to which it's a struggle to actually achieve in terms of logistics and in terms of my own lifestyle. And, he was never a full-time musician in the sense of earning a living by it. But he was always very dedicated. And so he, it's funny. I imagine being him and coming to this country and thinking, okay, there's opportunities here for prosperity and for bringing up a family that aren't there in India at the time, in the 60s. And that must have been his reasoning. But I don't think he could have foreseen that the actual opportunity that he gave to me was the opportunity to pursue doing Indian music here. I mean, that I don't know that he would have in his wildest dreams thought, oh, that's what my son's going to do. I don't know what he would have thought. So I think, it has surprised him, but he's supportive. He's visited me a number of times and seen concerts here, seen me sing myself.
I mean, I think it's difficult and at times challenging to, and I know this from my own culture, or, you know, and I think this happens true for lots of immigrant cultures, that with a child, especially a son, when they choose to become an artist, the parents have to really relinquish their, you know, their expectations of their child being, you know, professional this, professional that, engineer, doctor, lawyer, and see the choices that their children are making as fruitful for them, given the generation that they're in and the time that they're living in. Did you feel any of those constraints in becoming an artist? I mean, in a performer, a singer, and dedicating your life to that?
I mean, a lot of the essence of what is behind those expectations from immigrant families or from traditional culture families, I actually share myself. I mean, I believe that having security in terms of money is important to living a good life. And so, you know, that's a point of intersection between my parents. Well, in my case, actually, my parents are relatively open-minded, and their minds have been open even more with my agency, I hope. But, I mean, you know, even if they were to say, look, you know, you have to be a doctor. My sister is a doctor. Then I would just say to them, well, why? You know, what is it that you want out of that? And I believe that I would get them to admit that money and standing in society. And I think I am interested in both of those things. I'm interested in contributing. I'm interested in earning the respect of my peers and friends for what I'm doing. And I'm interested in living a good life and serving other people, which requires, you know, not suffering myself. And so, so that's an area where I can say, look, we have the same goals, and this is a different situation than you would have ever expected. I mean, I think that what I'm doing is unique and valuable, and so if I didn't do it, then there would be something lost. And so it's almost like in order to really contribute, I have to do this. You know, there's a quote by from an interview with Veena Sahasrabuddhe, who's a famous North Indian classical singer, and somebody asked her, you know, what advice do you have for up-and-coming Indian musicians today? You know, what would you say to them? And she said, well, if you have to decide between music and something else, then decide on the other thing. It's only those people who, for whom it doesn't seem like a decision, it just seems like an inevitable next step that should do it. And for me, it has kind of been like that. It's always been clear to me relatively what I need to do. And, you know, even like, for example, right now with the Sangati Center, I have certain goals for the place, and it's not clear exactly what to do, but generally the vision is there. And so given that I am able to have that vision and able to, you know, see it, I feel that working to accomplish it is something that I'm willing to defend. I'm willing to defend that it's good that I do that. And, you know, it of course doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt that I'm at a stage of my life. I don't have a family. I don't have, you know, I was able to go to a public school on scholarship, so I don't have big loans. So it's kind of like the universe has conspired to give me this chance to be able to give this to people. And so I, you know, I think that doing it is a good thing.
Those were the words of Gautam Tejas Ganeshan, founder of the Sangati Center. To learn more about the center, events, and how to take part, please visit sangaticenter.org. That's S-A-N-G-A-T-I center.org. My name is Sonia Katanjian. This is Sight Unseen. You're listening to Resonance, 104.4 FM. The UK's first radio art station.